I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't pass me by, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Manchester United have their first proper test under Solskjaer. There's a six-pointer down the bottom and Sami Nasri could face Arsenal again. Lovely to have you with us, as always, ladies and gentlemen. That will never change, in my opinion.
Might do. You never know.
Oh, that's true. They could all become horrible.
But I'm going to assume... you go changing.
Yeah.
Luke, Pete, and Jim are with me, Marcus. And have we got a show for you? We're going to talk about those footballs. Let's start with the Premier League, obviously, because there's no more FA Cup for the moment. That will return. Tottenham Hotspur. They got a good win against Chelsea in the semi-final first leg of the Carabao Cup. And they play Manchester United this weekend. Mm. Oh, it's a big one for Manchester United. Their first proper test, Jim Campbell, under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you would think.
Yeah, but also you would think they look at that and go, oh, you know what? We should relish this. Now, you know, the shackles are off. Let's see what we can do. Whereas under Mourinho, they'd just be like, oh, God, we're just going to have to let them have the ball for ages and just, like, I don't know.
True.
But try and learn something about ourselves and then write an essay on what we've done if we don't win.
And try and decipher his post-match press conference.
Yeah. And then apologise for our transfer fee and our lack of character.
Yes. And hair. Uh-huh. And youth.
The thing is with old Mourinho, like we said before, he would know how to set teams up in these kind of games. Whereas that became apparent as things went on at Manchester United, obviously culminating in that defeat at Liverpool, that he wasn't... Whether he was equipped to do it or willing to be or willing to equip his players, I don't know. But he's gone, and Solskjaer's there now. This could be a bit of a rude awakening for Manchester United under Solskjaer. But then you never know. We will find out a little bit more, perhaps.
Yeah.
What he and they are made of under his regime.
I was at this game last season at Wembley, and Spurs absolutely battered Man United. Yeah. I think it finished 2-0. They scored very early, but they could have scored a hatful. They were brilliant, by far the better team.
And when Spurs, a bit like Hulk Hogan's 24-inch pythons, when they run wild on you, they're pretty bloody good at doing that, aren't they?
They are.
Brother.
Yeah. But exactly. Actually, do you think this maybe poses a little bit of a problem for how Pochettino sets up as well? Because difficult to know how Man United will approach
I think he'll just go straight for the jugular.
You think he'll just...
Absolutely.
Beat him through Old Trafford as well.
I was going to say, I think with Pochettino, I think it's a pretty... it's a pretty safe setup. Interesting, though, the Carabao Cup game against Chelsea. Of course, they hammered them. I mean, they should have beaten them 5-6 when Chelsea came to Wembley last time against Spurs.
Yeah, but not this time.
But they were sort of hanging on, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, I felt like that game, the game that was decided by the Kane penalty this week, it felt to me that Spurs were sort of comfortable. But Chelsea dominated and were pushing rather than Spurs. Yeah. I know what you mean with Spurs were hanging on, but it was one of those things.
Okay, hanging on's a bit too strong.
It was one of those things where they were sort of defending 4 or 5 yards outside their penalty area, and I think they sort of knew as long as they stop Hazard, they were going to be okay.
Mm, yeah.
I didn't come away from that thinking, well, Chelsea should have won that.
Well, in a sort of two-legged affair, that is a very professional job, isn't it? Which is, you know.
I think I would have preferred a second if I was a fan of the home team at that point, because you go
or a ninth.
Yeah, well, we'll go into that in a minute. But on the Spurs Man United game coming up this weekend, I think Marcus is right, because I think Spurs are a team with a plan, right? They know what they're doing, they know their jobs. And it's all very well for Solskjaer to come in and lift that cloud of lift that burden and lift that cloud of what happened under Mourinho.
Which needed to be lifted.
Absolutely. But that in itself isn't a plan.
Mm.
That's just, okay, we're a bit of a honeymoon. We have 5 games that are quite winnable. With respect to the opponents.
Let's not be shit anymore.
Yeah, but now you're coming up against... Exactly, now you're coming up against someone with an actual plan. It'll be a real test of Solskjaer's chops, won't it?
Your game plan can't be fun.
No.
Can it?
No, it can't be. Just have a good time, everyone.
It can only take you so far, it's as far as Harry Redknapp got.
It'll be a test of his chops, as Luke said.
Yes. It will be.
Which I find very interesting.
The Spurs are evens with Bet365 to win against Man United. So the favourites, of course. £10 returns, £20, including stake. I mean, I missed the first goal in this game last year. I was at the game and I forgot. Because Wembley can't sort their shit out. I couldn't get in the ground. Mm-hmm. So as ever, there's people waiting for ages, and I think Christian Eriksen scored after about 30 seconds.
Are you not just barred? Have you checked?
I've never struggled at Wembley.
You never struggled to get in?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, you get a spiral escalator though.
Evidence is stacking up.
It's terrible these days.
Which door are you using?
Yeah, the one with your name above it.
That's why you're struggling.
The Sven Göran Eriksen suite.
I've warned them about certain people. I do find it quite intriguing. Obviously, Manchester United have won 5 matches under the Norwegian. They've been away in the Middle East enjoying some sunshine. Paul Pogba was presented with the club's Player of the Month award.
Love that.
I mean, is that an award they've just invented? Because I hope it is.
Yeah.
And our Player of the Month,
Scott McTominay would have won it.
I love the fact.
But he's played 4 minutes, Jose. Don't care. He's been brilliant. Did you see those? What a 4 minutes it was, though.
As soon as Mourinho's gone, Pogba literally gets Employee of the Month.
Yeah. I love it. On holiday.
I know.
Having a great time. The only way they could have trolled Mourinho more is giving Pogba player manager.
Yeah. Making the decisions. Who do you want to bring off? Is he going to go? Is Solskjaer going to say to Manchester United, go and attack him like you have been?
Yeah, I think he will.
We know you've got it, but I don't know. I think that could work out quite well.
Could
for
be a
Spurs.
Dingle. The thing is, because you know, United have got a far more up top than they were showing at the beginning of the season.
Mm.
So I think this really has the potential to be a bit of a.
But they can't play
back and forth.
They can't play a highlight. If they play a highlight against Spurs, they'll get murdered.
we'll see, won't we?
We will, Jim.
They're missing Son, of course, for this match. Who is obviously.
I thought Son was available.
I thought he was off.
Isn't he missing the first few games of the Asian?
Oh, I think this might be his last game.
Maybe his last game. Fair dues then. They are screwed.
South Korea didn't need him, of course, when they beat Sven in the Philippines 1-0. 82% possession. Sven surrendered.
That's actually quite a poor result.
Well, we learned from Jonathan.
As I said, he knows how to set them up defensively.
We learned from Jonathan Wilson on the Constant last week about how the fashion for letting the superior team have the ball is quite a modern invention.
Yeah.
So
it's quite Mourinho,
right? Yeah, these days teams just let them have the ball. That was never the done thing. Apparently, Jonathan was saying a number of years ago, there were only 3 games where one of the teams had 70% possession, and now it's about 63 a season.
Oh, really?
And so 82% is a lot. I mean, even if you look at the stats and you look at, say, a 62% possession, it doesn't seem like a lot. But it is a lot. Yes, it's an awful lot.
Once you hit 60, it's quite a lot.
Was Guardiola's Barcelona when they got like 81 in the Liga under him? Was that not like a record?
This
might be record breaking stuff by the Philippines here, but not for the right reasons.
I think Guardiola's Barcelona when they played Mourinho's Inter had an enormous amount because obviously
who won?
The Barcelona won 1-0 on the night.
Yeah,
but it didn't matter. Of course,
they turned the sprinklers on.
Just cool off, everybody. Yeah. Cool off. Son will go out there, of course, and
get one yourself, Son.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So he will be missed. What about Moussa Dembélé? Reportedly about to join Beijing Guoan, I think that's pronounced, in the Chinese Super League. Apparently, Dembélé said he was saying that he believes the slower tempo of the Chinese Super League will suit him more, and presumably the cash. He's only 31.
Yeah, I mean, he has said himself though that he's feeling his body catch up with him a little bit, and I think that's an interestingly frank admission from him that
I don't think he expected. I don't think he expected to play feature at all this season. I think he thought he would go last summer.
He did.
And I think because of the situation at Spurs changed, of course, at the end of that staying. But I mean, he featured a lot at the start of the season, but of course, hasn't featured.
More recently.
Some players have. It's not. Always
it's miles on the clock,
it's,
right?
It's not. It's not always the place where footballers go to die. Footballers have come back quite notably.
He
could come back. You know, get his paycheck, then come back for a couple of years in a much slower league.
But I think he feels like the Premier League is too quick for him, and he's had these injuries, and I think it's something that. That Spurs, I believe, have been, I mean, you say prepared for, but they haven't actually done anything about it. But they've known it's going to be happening for a while. And of course, why not? I mean, why not go and get a big payday? He'll be a miss for Spurs around the club, presumably, because he's been a fantastic player and everyone loves him there. I mean,
he's so good. That's the thing. I think when he says this, fair enough. If he wants a slower tempo, and who knows, only he knows his body, of course. I just think for the player, he's still 31. He receives so much praise from the fans, his teammates, and the manager as well. Italy's a bit slower. Do you know what I mean? I was a bit surprised. I know this happened last summer, and I thought to myself, "Oh, is it because of the money and whatnot?"
But it will clearly, be money as well.
Well, money, money. Of course, money plays a part. It does with most people who take various career choices and so on. But now he's talking about the slower tempo and so on and so forth.
Probably all those things. And don't forget, I mean, he's 31, but he's played over, I think he's played over 600 first team games, if you include his international games. He's played a lot of games.
Yeah.
In a demanding position, in a sort of style where he protects the ball a lot, he goes past, he sort of glides past. But it's a demanding position. I wouldn't say it's as demanding as athletically as a fullback's position, but he's amongst it.
But if he was 34, 35, I'd see him.
I don't think it matters, though. I don't think the age matters much. I genuinely think it's miles on the clock, not the
it's
age.
How he feels, isn't it?
Michael Owen was done way before 31.
Well, yeah.
He's the same age as Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney's 31 now, isn't he?
He's
an MLS. So, you know, it's different for different people, isn't it, clearly?
It's very true. But Pete Donaldson's not going to China anytime soon.
I've got to literally go to Taipei next month.
Well, it's not China, mate, is it?
If you ask China, it is.
I was going to say, whose side are you on? I think you've just shown your true colours there, and I'm glad we smoked you out, quite frankly.
Yeah. Oh, like the Gang of Four, unbelievable.
Yeah.
There we are. Let's move on to Manchester City versus Wolves. Manchester City, they won their first leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final this week. It's nicely poised for the second leg.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's not a knife edge, isn't it?
9-0. 9-0.
Why is everybody upset about this?
Yeah, I don't mind.
I don't understand it. I don't mind it. I think it gives focus to a match that would otherwise just have gone by the wayside. I think watching Pep Guardiola give maximum respect to that particular cup competition gives it a shot in the arm.
Yeah.
And it serves, it didn't serve Burton, let's admit that very clearly, but it served to Manchester City. They need wins, and they at this point where they've had a bit of a dip.
Also, they've got players coming back. They need the minutes, and obviously they want to sort of do their best at that time. And Guardiola himself said, like, you know, we wanted to respect the opposition by being professional and just trying for the whole game. And I know that sounds like it might be a little bit, you know.
Peck went over to the fans, the Burton fans, and shook hands and stuff.
Yeah,
I think
Nigel Clough didn't mind it. Are you of a different opinion, Marcus?
When you say about people who need minutes and all the rest of it, Phil Foden didn't start, did he?
Yeah, no. But he played like 3 days before, though, didn't he?
I know, but
90 minutes, and he came on.
People are talking about this match more than they would. If they'd have won 2-0, 3-0, she went, well, that was always going to happen.
Yeah, but they didn't, did they?
No.
They won 9-0.
They hammered them, yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
It's exciting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so do you guys feel they should have, like, backed off?
I'm not, I've got a sort of, I'm coming at this at a different angle. Luke, you've got something to say about the scoreline. You don't think, you're a bit more old-fashioned Italian with this.
No, but you started out by saying.
But now we're a disgrace.
Yeah, you did. So what you qualify that first before you throw the hand grenade over this side?
No. But I was really what your response to what Jim and Pete are saying is more direct. Mine is a different angle.
Well, okay, so I respect your guys' point of view. I'm a bit torn between respecting the opposition. I get that, but I don't know whether you need to score 9 goals in the game. I don't know whether you need to go in and you get to 6. I mean, the game's done. It's done, and even the second leg's done because they're Burton. They're a League One team. I don't know whether you need to repeatedly keep going like that. I think there's ways of playing where you don't need to. We've seen it happen before, as Marcus alluded to there. Italian, in Italy, it's not really the done thing.
Well, when Ferguson's United beat Arsenal at late too, he was a little bit embarrassed after.
Germany against Brazil was a classic example as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying I necessarily feel that way. I can see that point of view. They beat Rotherham 7-0 a couple of days ago. So I mean, it's you know, clearly they're in the mood, shall we say? But Marcus, you were upset. If you may let me put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
You were upset about the application from the Burton Albion players.
I was. Yes. I think that. That really wasn't, nobody said anything. Now, this is not me saying, oh, bloody hell, why are you getting hammered by Manchester City, for crying out loud? Big teams go there and can get beaten quite heavily as well. I just, a little bit was made about that chance Burton missed at 1-0.
Clough being could have
been so
that.
Different.
Could have been an away goal, and you never know. I just felt that the Burton players.
No away goals in the League Cup.
Yeah, that used to be after extra time, though. I don't know if is that still the case.
Can't check. Oh, okay. Just chipping off.
I don't think we've got to worry about that though. that particular
it's not
time
to come up, is it? Imagine if Man City lose the second leg.
10-1.
Yeah.
Phil Foden with a last minute goal. Yeah. He's only been on the pitch 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think with Burton Albion, if you look at the way it starts, you think to yourself, like, defend to the hilt, don't give anything away. Bloody, bloody, blah. They lose a goal for a header from Kevin De Bruyne after, what was it, 3-5 minutes, something like that. The way he just ghosted in, he didn't particularly sprint. It was so easy. And the Burton player, I'm just looking at them thinking, that goal that De Bruyne scored, and then the second one and the third, the manner in which most of those goals were scored, it was almost embarrassing, really. I think it was the third goal, was it, where... Jesus took a touch and he tucked it in off the post?
Yeah.
And the defenders were standing and they were... I said, this is training ground. This is really quite bad.
You think they froze, maybe?
I don't know what it was. I tell you what didn't help them, probably, was the fact that there was hardly anybody in the crowd. Mm-hmm. So it had a really relaxed feel. That's what I mean. It was so relaxed. And Clough, the manager, said after the game immediately, well, the achievement was us just getting here. And I get that. Totally get that.
Yeah.
But when they look back at that cup run, it soured slightly. It is.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If you'd have said to Burton before the League Cup, before they entered that competition, you'll get to the semi-final and then you will be absolutely hammered by one of the best sides in the world.
And none of your fans will see it because of motorway congestion.
I'm sure
small
they would,
mercies.
Yeah, indeed. I'm sure they would take that, for crying out loud. Of course you would.
Yeah.
But when he says, oh, but the achievement was us just getting here, when the first goal went in, he was slumped in his seat. After the game, he had a little chuckle with Guardiola. Now, I'm not going to have a go at him for that, you know, probably a sense of humour that is quite needed in that situation. Mm. But the whole body language, it did feel like, oh, this is just, yeah, it's nice just to be here, to be honest. Mm. They never relished it. They never were up for it at all.
But they were losing heavily early, weren't they, really?
They were, Jim.
Oh, the second goal was after half an hour.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even so, though, like...
Just the body, like, everything. I'm not sure. I think that they were completely and utterly defeated and hammered before the whistle had been blown.
Plenty of other teams will experience that at the Etihad.
Not that bad. No, not like that.
No, but I think their heads will go down and they will lose their heads and they will lose...
Did one of their players even get a yellow card?
I actually have to say, I agree with Marcus. The thing it put me in mind of was when Wigan beat Man City in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Would have been the fourth round last season,
or quarter final, was it, or something like that? Fifth or sixth round.
Yeah,
I mean, it was at Wigan. Fair enough.
Yeah, it was at Wigan, but I mean, yeah, fine. That is a factor.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's not such a fact. That's not a 10 goal swing factor. Mm. The way Wigan played in that game, I know they're probably a better team than Burton are now.
Yeah, they were, because they've got promoted.
Yeah, of course.
And Burton were mid-table.
But there was no way on paper they should have been in the game. I mean, Man City are a brilliant team last season. They got 100 points in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But Wigan applied themselves so well and realised that Man City were going to have a bit of an off day for them to get anything out of it. But they didn't give Man City a chance. They didn't give them too much respect, which I think is what you're
Burton
talking about.
Burton gave them so much. Yeah. Clough said after the game, he said, oh, well, when we saw the team sheet and we saw their sort of front five players, he's kind of like, yeah, you've got to hold your hands up and blah, blah, blah. Now, you can argue, well, he's just saying that retrospectively, and he's basically trying to make it not so bad to his players. Well, then he says, oh, we're an average League One side. Just everything that came out of his mouth, the whole body language on the side of the pitch, I was thinking to myself...
It is disappointing, and there is an emotional reaction when you see a team sheet like that, but also, you still have to play against those players, and they're really bloody good. Mm.
Sure, but hang on a minute, you're saying plenty of teams are going, that will happen to them. Well, it hasn't happened to any teams since the 80s.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to that degree, but plenty of Premier League teams will go there and lose 5-0. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And they're League One, for crying out loud. I wouldn't worry about it.
I get that.
I think Marcus means the manner rather than the actual...
Yeah, it's the manner.
Of course, but I mean, I just feel when the gulf is so, so huge, as Pete points out, like, it might just be the point that, like, you're up against it and just whatever you do doesn't work. So you just...
But they didn't do anything.
They didn't throw the kitchen sink at it, though.
No.
Mm. And look, next up for Man City is Wolves on Monday night, and they're 12-1 to beat City on their own patch. Of course, Wolves set the stall out, didn't they, in their home game in this season? They got a 1-1 draw. £10 with Bet365, returns £130, including stake. That is a great Monday night game, that.
I think so.
Because the game between them at Molineux was fantastic. Yeah. It was really end-to-end.
They're really sort of setting themselves up as kingmakers, really, Wolves, aren't they? Because they're taking points off everyone.
Are you saying they're the DUP of the Premier League?
But the thing, you know what? I think Nuno and this team will look at that last night and look at the game before, and they won't go, God, we're in trouble.
No, they'll say they're relaxed.
They're going to be complacent.
If we try, unlike those little slugs,
we might get something.
And if Wolves get beat 7 or 8-0, I'll hold my hands up.
Like Nigel Clough did.
Just call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for emails with everyone's favourite, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, is that true? Say I'm the only
bee in your bonnet. Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Bad bees. Hello to Alex on the emails. Evening, gents. Having heard a fellow listener email in with their suggestions for a change of the rules to return some of the supposedly absent passion to the FA Cup, I was reminded of a similar idea I had a few years ago. Thanks for your
see
idea.
What you've done? Yeah. See what you've done. You know, the genie's at the bottle now.
Rather than offering point-based incentives for unassociated competitions and this furthering the gap between the big and the small teams, why not instead remove the big teams? More specifically, any team which qualifies for a European competition is omitted from the FA Cup. This would reduce the burden of extra games placed on the teams in Europe, which often means that overachieving teams like Burnley hugely struggle in the next season, as well as returning some variety to the potential winners. Shut up, Marcus. Lower league teams will still be able to achieve their giant killing when they dump out Premier League teams, but there wouldn't be the same old inevitability when they're drawn against Chelsea and Liverpool in the quarters. For me, the most poignant thing is that Manchester United won the FA Cup in 15-16 and the EFL Cup in 16-17. Both of these seasons were deemed abject failures, whereas Everton reached the final and lost in 2008, and that was the standout moment in my Everton supporting life. The Cup still means a lot to 90% of the clubs in England, but is almost exclusively won by the other 10%.
Well, look, let's be egalitarian about it. Who wants to batter him first?
Well, I'd like to just say that, Pete, you picked on me there.
Because I could feel you about to say something.
I was laughing because the looks I was getting from Jim and Luke through that email.
Well, I was too busy reading.
The first port of call is, how much satisfaction could you take from winning a competition where you've surgically removed all the good teams?
Are you then given advantage to in the league because they have fewer games?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, as I said, you're only coming at me with problems. Give me solutions.
Presumably this is a young Evertonian because obviously they did win the FA Cup in the mid-90s.
Yeah, 95. But
Manchester United, when they didn't play in the FA Cup because they were in the World Club Cup, I mean, that didn't go down very well. No,
didn't go down very well with me.
Yeah.
No. I don't think that's realistic. And I wonder whether people are... So I'll tell you, sorry to throw it back to on the continent again, but we talked yesterday about the success of the Coupe de France. Mm. And the way they do it in France is that every big team automatically gets drawn away from home and there are no replays.
It's so good that.
So what you see is exactly what we saw this week, which is Marseille getting knocked out by a fourth tier side or whatever it was. Mm. And it happens over and over again. And you regularly see what you'd call minnows in the final of the Coupe de France. That would be a way of doing it.
And then
you
PSG
actually
beat them.
Yeah. But that would be a way of doing it where you don't undermine the... Yeah.
I like that. The away game, I
didn't know that about...
But the problem is, though, Marcus and I immediately said to Andy, well, what about the financial benefit of playing away at Old Trafford? And he said, well, it's never really been part of the culture in France, so they never really think about it. So the downside to that, of course, is you're never going to get to play at Old Trafford or the big stadia, you know?
Yeah. Also, I feel like, you know, people talk about, we're having this conversation because people talk about, you know, the FA Cup being effectively dead as a point of interest. But if you remove, you know, the best teams from it, you just confirm it. You relegate it to being a sort of effectively a
completely
second tier.
I just get the sense that when we get emails from people trying to improve the FA Cup, they're people under 30, because we remember the FA Cup and we love the FA Cup because
Arsenal winning those three FA Cups was an amazing thing for me.
Yeah, well, you'll know my story, mate. Yeah, but the fair enough, it's a fair point actually. And what I would say to them then, hopefully this won't come across as out of touch and patronising, which is what you've alluded to there, Peter, is that
avocados really, on toast are delicious.
People have been talking, hopefully you guys will agree with this, people have been talking about, in quotes, the death of the FA Cup for a very long time. When did Man United pull out of it? It was ages ago. Yeah, it was almost 20 years ago. Yeah. And that was seen across all the mainstream outlets, newspapers, as the death, in quotes, of the FA Cup. Oh, it's never going to be the same again. Well, do you know what? Since then, there's been some great moments in the FA Cup. Yeah. I wonder whether we actually need to fix anything at all other than the stuff that we've talked about before, which is maybe the VAR inconsistency and one or two other tweaks. Maybe you get rid of replays. I don't know. But other than that, it's fine, isn't it?
Saturday, like 3 hours of broadcasting before it actually starts.
I remember it starting at 9 a.m.
Oh, yeah, I used to love the old build-up.
Yeah, exactly.
Brucey on the pitch. No, that was 70s. Yeah.
All they need to do is just bring that back.
I think
because it's a knockout football competition.
That'd be very inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, the Wembley thing is not the Star Wars.
True. But with regards to people saying that, oh, well, only the big teams win it, which that shows it's not dead because it's worth winning. Because if I understand what you mean, I'd rather some of the smaller sides won it. Don't get me wrong.
But that's always been the case as well.
Since 2001, we've had two unfashionable teams win it, Pompey and Wigan.
Yeah,
so they're both top flight teams, but it was still out of the ordinary.
Yeah. But exactly, whenever there's been upsets in the past, or Millwall got to the final, Wimbledon and things like that, they've always been outliers.
They have. But what I'm saying is that the competition would be dead if no big teams won
and they didn't
give a damn, and they were just, oh well, we went out and the final was a bit of a damp squib against two very, very smaller sides. You know, so it proves actually the annoying thing is that the big sides are always win it, But that shows you that it's worth winning.
Yeah, but that's true of every football competition, isn't it? That's just the better side.
We're not the arbiters of what's right and what's wrong. But I don't think anyone around this table thinks that the FA Cup's not worth watching.
Absolutely not.
I really enjoy it. So I personally wouldn't like to see it change.
Well, if you want
a
trophy where the big teams are removed, get the Checker Trade trophy.
Oh, you still see Pompey in that as well. Yeah.
Sunderland 4, Newcastle
0. Sunderland 4, Newcastle 0. You noticed that the Sunderland tickets were printed out. It didn't say under 21. Is it under 21s or under
21s? Under 21s.
It said Newcastle versus Sunderland. Didn't say under 21s. Newcastle under 21s.
I also enjoyed Newcastle fans singing "We Saw You Crying" on Netflix. Particularly cruel.
That is lovely.
They might chant back, "You've never been on Netflix."
Can I just say, the one thing I would change about the FA Cup is I would just have it so that it's just the final at Wembley. I feel like quite a purist.
Yeah,
I do think that robs something.
Yeah, I'm on that.
Have the semis at Spurs New Ground. That's only fair.
Villa Park. Always Villa Park.
You can have them at Spurs New Ground. They've got to be in October, though.
Do you know who I would have doing the main commentary on it? There was a kid, I can't remember if it was the FA Cup or the League Cup, that when Man City were coming off their bus this week, they had a little child, it couldn't have been older than about 6 or 7, with a microphone basically announcing the team off bus.
Oh.
And he's getting pelters on Twitter. It's wonderful. He turns in an amazing performance.
Sounds
he's going,
lovely.
And here's Pep Guardiola! And then he's going, and is Mikel Arteta! And he's just going, the main man, Aguero or whatever. And then he goes, the young Phil Foden, you're it, mate! You're really young.
Were people actually criticising the kids?
They were.
Oh my God.
People get very tribal.
Some of the stuff they say about
internet.
You, Marcus. just because you're putting yourself out there, mate.
Hang on, who's been saying
steady.
What?
That's
how you end the ad break.
Oh, steady, don't do that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I haven't finished. I got one more email.
For goodness sake!
I was about to announce it.
We've done 6 minutes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. And now we move into the last email.
Does that need a stab? Have we got a jingle for that, Pete? Hello to, I'm not going to name for this one, but it's a beautiful a bit of work.
It's an email. Yeah. Just what the email says.
This person forwarded on a tweet from Jason McAteer to Robbie Fowler after his recent...
Love that.
His recent mess.
Carry
his recent
on.
Telly mess.
Let's just say it's from Jason McAteer then.
Robbie... we got an email from Jason McAteer. Yeah. Robbie Fowler asks to Jason on Twitter, "What happened tonight, mate? I've missed it. Ha ha, smiley emoji." And Jason says, "So, me and Michael Owen had a scuffle and he's launched me and then I softly kicked him up the hoop." the piss poor officials aside, they didn't say his challenge, but they still give him a yellow card. I got a red. Simples.
He's not Manchester.
I love them having this conversation in public.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
All right, I'll go into Scouse mode. Oh, the email's finished. I can't.
No, it's done.
Move on. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, shotthefootballramble.com is where to do that.
Yeah. Yes, indeed it
but
is.
Do think your ideas through before you email them in, please.
I like them.
Yeah. We're off up the hoop for an ad break. See you in a moment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I wasn't clattering on.
Not clattering on. I wasn't clattering on.
Yeah, that's the Right Honourable Neil Custis there.
Yeah. Not clattering on.
Those who know and adore him.
Never clatters.
He then continues. Clattenburg.
Yeah.
And wasn't Clattenburging on.
Right then, ladies and gentlemen, back to the Premier League. Burnley face Fulham. Burnley have won their last two matches. They're showing signs that they're getting out of the slump that they've been in pretty much all season. So it's an important one down the bottom of the table. With Cardiff playing Huddersfield, of course, it's a chance for teams to catch up other teams or to put more distance between themselves and other teams.
Stop saying teams.
Who
I just heard you saying teams about 8 times in a row.
It's ASMR teams. Teams.
It's a big one, though.
And it is.
You would think Burnley now, having won those two games, as I say, they won in the FA Cup as well. And Fulham, I know Fulham, they got those 5 points over Christmas. Then they were beaten handily by Arsenal, but that can happen even if Fulham are doing well. And then, of course, they lost to Oldham in the Cup. And I sort of think Ranieri seems to have improved them. Those 5 points would suggest, although one of those wins was a last-minute one against Huddersfield. This game, I think to myself, Burnley are surely the favourites for this. Any takers?
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I don't know, Burnley are a difficult team to talk about in any depth because you sort of always know what you're going to get with them.
Mm.
And I don't want that to sound like I'm being disrespectful.
But we didn't get that at the start of the season.
No, but I mean in terms of the way they try and play.
Yeah.
And I've said before that, you know, you put a lot of pressure on your players defensively if you don't score many goals. But actually, if you look at the goals they've scored compared to the teams around them, it's not too bad.
No.
I mean, they've scored more goals, for example, than Huddersfield. They've scored more goals than Fulham. They've scored more goals than Newcastle. They've scored more goals than Cardiff. And to be fair, they've only scored 2 goals fewer than Wolves, who are in ninth.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not as easy as that just to say, well, they just don't score enough goals, which it was last season. But of course, defensively, they were so spectacular. Mm-hmm. That they are able to have a strong finish, so this is a massive win for them. This is the third league game where you think you've got to win this, and they've won the first two, and if they win the third, they're going to put a decent amount of distance between them and the relegation zone. Aren't
they? Yeah, is he doing the opposite of what Klopp's done at Liverpool? So Klopp, they were fantastic going forward. I think we need to sharpen up the defence, which obviously Klopp has done, and it's working a treat. And Dyche has thought we're really good at the back. We need to score more goals. It's not really worked out.
No, and I wonder whether he needs to do a reverse Benitez and get rid of the goatee the same way Benitez grew the goatee.
Good point.
I'd love to get stats on Benitez pre and post goatee.
Someone will have those stats, no doubt.
Definitely.
I think they should do what they did against Huddersfield. Just get a man sent off on their side and a man sent off on the other side as well. Bit more room. Bit more room. Win 2-1.
Space.
Away. Lovely.
Maybe that's the way we could improve the FA Cup.
That's your own voice. An impression.
An impression with his waving his arms.
I don't
arm
know
around.
What they sound like.
They.
Would you like to have another pop at them, Jim?
Yeah.
We'll
save it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure an opportunity
save
will
it until
arise.
We meet them face to face. Yeah.
Jim, I'm absolutely happy for you to become the lightning rod for the listener. It's normally me having a pop. Marcus, you, there must be a feeling among the Fulham fraternity, and
yes.
I'm not necessarily counting you in that, but you were at their last game. That they need to move now.
Yeah, the relaxation days are getting stressful.
Mummy's
right?
Relaxation day.
Well, that's what I keep banging on about those 3 games over Christmas, because we said before them that they really need to pick up 4, maybe 5 points, and they did, and they did that well. They got out of jail thanks to Mitrovic with that penalty business against Huddersfield. It was a huge win, that, because not only did it give Fulham a lift, it condemned Huddersfield, and Huddersfield are in a terrible state of affairs. They really are. Fulham now need to kick on and think, right, let's distance ourselves from Huddersfield and start to look up the table, of course. I mean, it can't look down that much because there's only one team below them. It'd be interesting to see the loss against Oldham, how Ranieri will use that to try and galvanise them and so on and so forth. But if Fulham lose here, it will be quite damning for them. Mm. Now, if Fulham lose and then Huddersfield get something at Cardiff as well, I really do fear for old Fulham. But if
they sell Mitrovic to China, as is being touted?
Well, then they'll be down. Well, then they're gone. Genuinely, if Fulham sold Mitrovic, that would be
Mitrovic
them.
Linked? I thought it was Arnautovic who was linked.
Yeah, no,
are they both being linked?
Yeah, I think Mitrovic is there for Mitrovic. Only 50 million, though, for like a 23-year-old. Yeah. In China,
I mean, Fulham. A
couple of years out, come back.
Fulham would be crazy.
Gap year
on the FA Cup thing. I mean, Ranieri even said himself, "Look, I gave fringe players a chance. Yeah. They've shown me I was right to pick the team I normally pick in the Premier League." So I imagine he'll go back to that. And they're 2-1 to win this one on the road. Of course, £10 returns, £30 including stake with Bet365. Burnley are scoring more goals, and Fulham's defensive record is abysmal. It's abysmally bad.
Yeah.
So you'd have to look at a home win here, I think.
Well, again, but I know I sound like a bloody broken record those 3 games, because the FA Cup is a poorer side. I get away to Arsenal, sometimes you're going to hold your hands up there. Ranieri's registered 2 clean sheets in the league, away to Newcastle, at home to Huddersfield. You might say, well, it's not much opposition. Well, I'm sorry, a clean sheet for Fulham's a bloody good
take it
going
anyone.
Against anyone.
Yeah.
And a point on the road for a side like Fulham is always good.
All the doom and gloom aside, though, if they do get a win here, that puts them on 17 points, and that puts them right amongst everyone other than Huddersfield. So that is something to aim at. If they win here, that is a chance to actually go, you know what, we write off the rest of the season, we kick on from now. Dennis Odoi said, like, after the FA Cup defeat, like, the manner of that is exactly what they have to turn around. And he said, there's all these people saying, oh, maybe it's a good thing that you're out of the FA Cup. It's a bit of a wake-up call that you could focus on the league now. And he said, we all know where we are in the league.
Yeah.
No one knows better than we do that we're second from bottom. It's ridiculous to think that we're not aware of the consequences of all this.
Yeah,
I wonder if they do go down this season, it'll be not unprecedented disappointment, but if you look
missed
at the
opportunity, definitely.
If you look at the players they've got
and the money that well the money they've spent,
but the players that we would have really, and we probably did actually, we probably embarrassed ourselves in the summer saying, you know, what we thought could happen with Fulham. I was at the first game of the season as well, and they were undone by Palace in a quite a disappointing way. But if you look through their squad of players, there are reasons why a lot of those players could and should be doing a lot better. Mitrovic, Chambers, Schürrle. Sessegnon has not made any sort of transition to the Premier League, and he was being talked about going to the World Cup in the summer.
Yeah,
you know,
Callum Chambers is.
I've said Chambers already. Yeah,
story,
yeah. Yeah, Vieto's on loan from Atletico. Mm. You know, you've got players like Alfie Mawson went for big money. He's highly rated. Was on the fringes of the England team.
It's bringing all that together because at the start of the season, that game you saw against Palace, that showed you a newly promoted side being a little bit naive, but they were on the front foot.
Yeah,
on another day they
got undone.
Yeah,
but Marcus, even Tom Kearney. You've earned your right to get into the Premier League. Yeah. Now go and show us what you're all about.
He's been a little bit injured. And
of course he has.
But I know what you mean. I just think that under Jokanović, everything was like, come on, we'll keep playing the way we play. We'll do this, da-da-da-da-da. And that 5-1 home loss against Arsenal, and from that moment on, it was like everyone went, oh, crap.
Wasn't it 4-1? Or 5-1? 5-1. Was it?
Okay, it was like, oh, bloody hell. What he's got, we don't know what we're doing. And from there, it just went downhill very rapidly. And Ranieri's come in and he's trying to pick it up and get it going. And if he can fit it together and do something, because they've got a bit going forward. You know, they were away to Spurs. Yeah, they were sort of fairly handily beaten, but they got them going for a bit. They had Spurs going. They scored at other games and whatnot, in which they caused problems to the opposition and bloody blah. They beat Burnley 4-2. I was there earlier in the season. But there we are. I think that's enough chat about old Fulham. Let's move on, if we may, to West Ham versus Arsenal. As we mentioned earlier, West Ham rejected a bid from an unnamed Chinese side for Marco Arnautović, although Pete, you seem to know the Chinese side.
No, Guangzhou Evergrande came in for Mitrovic. I don't know who came in for Marco Arnautović.
Oh, okay.
It just seems to be a bit more money swilling around the Chinese Super League at the moment.
Yes,
this season rather than like last season, it all went a bit quieter, didn't it?
Well, that was didn't the government put in?
Yeah, they put crackdown on how many players you could.
There was some reason there. Arnautović wasn't happy about being taken off in the first half against Birmingham last weekend, and I think he may take out his anger out on Arsenal, Jim.
He's that sort of player.
Yeah,
yeah, petty, and we have petty, that sort of defence. That's quite.
Membrane thin.
I think it could be a really good game, this one, actually.
Yeah,
I think West Ham have got a bit about them. You would be surprised if they were in a relegation fight now. They seem to have kind of turned it on a bit more. And with, you know, Felipe Anderson's been great this season.
He really has, hasn't he? He's been brilliant. I do feel it's slightly nervy about this one. Arsenal have a very good record against West Ham away. But, you know, obviously that won't necessarily count for anything at all. But yeah, they've been patchy, haven't they, West Ham? They go on a little bit of a run, then they lose a game you wouldn't expect them to. But I feel like, Arsenal need to be up for this one. Because they're going to, like, Arsenal got a lot of defenders back now, which is good. The squad is starting to sort of get back to full fitness. Obviously, it still has its problems. But, you know, part of the problems Arsenal have had of late have been
injuries.
Through having makeshift defences and whatnot.
But these two sides have got the most injuries of any of all the Premier League sides.
I didn't know Arsenal had players back. According to the Premier League, Bellerin, Mustafi, Monreal, Holding, Koscielny and Mavropanos are all listed as out or doubtful.
They're all recently back in training, all of those players.
But they're all listed as doubtful, though.
But they won't be, some of them won't be available.
Yeah, not all of them will be, but if some of them are back, I'm sure you know within those players at least one will be able to start. It's good news on the horizon, effectively.
Well, will that bother Andy Carroll?
Does Andy Carroll get fit? There's no science behind me saying this, but does Andy Carroll get fit 3 months before his contract comes up every time?
Yeah.
And he'll come in, he'll score a couple of headers, a nice overhead kick, and they'll get another 4-year deal.
He's like a heading specialist, isn't he?
I mean, he should be. If he's not, what is Andy Carroll?
He turned 30.
Oh, it's such
Sunday.
It is such a shame.
It really
he's
is.
He's been very unlucky with injuries. Yeah. Was he played 250 matches? Like, half of them off the bench.
Has
no
he played
doubt.
That many?
I was surprised. But, like, I think it's more just like he spent a lot of time coming off the bench with those performances.
It is such a shame because you're reminded when you see him play, he's actually... He's not like pacey, but he's reasonably quick.
Yeah.
He's good with the ball at his feet. He obviously is wonderful in the air. He's got a great shot on him. He's got so much to his game, and yet we've seen so little from the man who,
really
who Liverpool made him was he a record transfer fee or certainly was one of the highest
I mean his best years have vanished underneath him, let alone being behind him.
He might be really fresh really. He might have a really maybe. Great 30s.
I mean, you know, an aerial battle is something that Arsenal won't necessarily relish against a player like that. Socrates will probably be up for it.
Three years ago, he was pretty consistent for West Ham. Mm-hmm. He had a season where he played a 30-odd game, scored, I don't know if he scored 10 goals, but he scored a decent amount. But yeah, it's a bit of what could have been. And we don't quite know the difference between him being unlucky with injuries and
treating his
not
body
looking
badly.
After himself properly. We don't know the difference. It'd be unfair to speculate, but certainly he's not been able to put together any sort of consistency throughout his career. And I remember when you mentioned that he went to Liverpool, at that point in his career, it was like, well, he could really kick on here now. Because we all saw the potential. And I know they were sort of, to a certain extent, they were recycling the Fernando Torres money, weren't they? So it wasn't a ridiculous...
Didn't they sign him and Luis Suarez?
They did, at the same time, I think so.
strange duo.
Yeah. So the Prince and the Pauper.
I will note that this weekend, his 30th birthday was the 6th of January, so he may still be partying. You never know.
Could be. So he's only just 30.
He's only just 30.
Well,
so
well, Arsenal are 10-3 to finish top four this season with Bet365. £10 returns £43.33, including stake, should they get there.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, talking to people who have been out for a while, Samin Azri.
Yeah.
Could face Arsenal again. He's at West Ham now. Of course, he's made his debut for West Ham in the FA Cup. He's banned for breaching anti-doping rules when playing for Sevilla and served his 18-month ban. I forgot about Nasri. I thought he'd sort of disappeared to the Middle East or something. And then
don't dope your auntie.
Carry on.
But 18 months. Long time.
A long ban.
That
especially
is really
at his age.
Yeah. I'm not arguing the length of the ban. I'm just saying that's a long time for a footballer, a top flight footballer, to be out. And, you know, obviously he made his debut for West Ham in the Cup and so on. I don't know, will he feature? Because, I mean, if you've been out for that long, playing at home...
Narrative.
Against, do you think?
Yeah. Shut your mouth, off Marcus. The bench. You know at for a fact he'll come on and score a goal. Come on.
Are you having that? You think he will?
Yeah, I think he will. Come on. I'm putting literally nothing where my mouth is.
Taunting the away fans.
They've got quite a settled like midfield, haven't they, West Ham?
And he's worked with... Yeah. Nasri's worked with Pellegrini. I think it was quite a canny signing if he can... Well, he
went away to Turkey for a bit, didn't he? And I remember people saying
when he was at Sevilla, that was when he...
Yeah, but he went to Antalyaspor after that.
Oh, did he?
He played there for not that long, but I think he went there to sort of rekindle.
Yeah, right.
And then obviously now he's come here. But I heard that he was okay in Turkey. I thought he was quite good, but I mean, that's different to the Premier League, isn't it? But West Ham's midfield, it looks... He's pretty strong. Yeah. You know, you'd argue that Mark Noble's the weak link in it.
Well, considering what it was like at the start of the season when it was, what, Noble and Wilshere in the centre.
Yeah, well, that Wilshere and Nasri pulling the strings.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, enjoyable.
Pulling the hamstrings, mate.
All right, then. It's time for our best bet with Bet365.
It certainly is. And step forward, Mr. Nick Bell, who says, "Hi all, recent best bettors in the hot seat seem to have started out by making bold claims. And I've got none of that. I've looked at the fixtures and chosen something logical and boring to get us up and running. We need to put more money in the Prostate Cancer UK coffers, and I need a solid base to build on for the first ever Ramble hat-trick."
Nice.
Kind of like Mourinho starting from a solid defensive base on the way to inevitable glory. Yeah.
Well, he did win a treble, didn't he?
That email's probably about 10 years out of date. anyway, Manchester United have looked much better under old Ole, but let's be honest, they haven't had a particularly stern test yet. I expect that to change on Sunday against Spurs. They do look much more free-flowing, so I can't see Spurs keeping a clean sheet. But I also can't see Man United getting anything at Fortress Wembley, which looks like being Spurs' new permanent home at this rate. Therefore, my best bet for this week is both teams to score, but Spurs to win. All the best, Nick. So Spurs to beat Man United, but both teams to score is 13-5 with Bet365. £50 returns £180, including stake, all to Prostate Cancer UK, of course. You must be 18 or over to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck, Nick.
Nice.
I like
one,
it.
Nick. I like that bet. Well done, old Bell. Now then, it's Bellas. Time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, well, you to play the game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold.
I don't think the stakes are that high.
No,
they are for Frank Ribery.
Hey.
But they're not, the thing is, Pete, they're not high for you because you get out of this scot-free.
Oh, yeah. Massively.
Whereas for us, I don't know about you and Marcus, but I feel like if you don't get one for a few weeks, it starts to play on your mind a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Little tickle. Yeah. Little tickle in the back of your head.
Exactly.
Hello, Chris Johnson. Thank you for this, Chris. He, I believe, is currently working in Grimsby.
Oh, good to know.
Good. You don't hear much from Grimsby anymore, do you? I was born 4th of October, 1980.
I saw Grimsby play at Mansfield Town last season.
Any good?
That was a good game, yeah.
Stop. Joe Cole.
Incorrect.
I wasn't listening to the clue because I was thinking about Mansfield Town.
1980, 4th of October.
Okay. Who did you say? Joe Cole? Mm. Don't mind that.
Mm. Don't mind that.
Early shout. So he's same age as me.
That's what people shout if you take a speculative effort that looks like it could bother the goal.
Don't get distracted by he's the same age as me. And like I'm in my mind, you're looking at yourself in the mirror going, right, what does a man look like?
Yeah. Stop. Juan Pablo Angel.
Incorrect.
Looks like me, Jim. Remind you of me, doesn't it?
Lovely.
Yes. That's exactly the thought process.
Stop Bruce Forsyth. Stop Colin Montgomery.
These count, by the way. You're
you've not got a guess for
I that, have 105 caps for my country, scoring 23 goals.
Stop. Alexei Smertin. Probably too many goals.
Wow, what a brilliant, brilliant guess that is.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
I love that.
Incorrect.
Stop. Dirk Kuyt.
Incorrect.
Ooh, that's a nice one.
Mm. Yeah. I think he's a bit older. And if you're not older, he looks older.
Stop. Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Incorrect. I played for only three
23.
Clubs. I played for only three clubs in my professional career.
Okay.
I want to club these two together. I ended my playing career at the club I started at.
Stop. Robin van Persie.
Incorrect.
Stop. Klaus-Jan Huntelaar.
Incorrect.
I don't know why we're going Dutch strikers. I started this.
Yeah.
With Roy Mackay last week.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Stop. Robbie Fowler.
Incorrect.
38.
Yeah. You need to kick up the hoop, mate.
I don't think Robbie Fowler never got over 100 caps for England.
No, you're right.
Shout out.
I love those guesses.
And he played for way more than three clubs.
This is a nice bit of trivia. If you know this one, you'll definitely know the player. I am both the youngest and oldest player to play for my country.
Stop. Is it Ardiger Johnson?
Incorrect.
Oh. Mm. You're thinking of the dad thing, right?
Yeah.
No, it'll be a small nation. Will it not? Oh, no, not necessarily.
Like Iceland.
Yeah. It's small nation.
Fucking stop. Vatican fucking City. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, I meant a new nation.
Yeah, fine.
But I don't know why. My logic was all over the place. Sorry.
In 2001, I became the most expensive signing in Bundesliga history.
Ooh. 2001.
We'll stop. Claudio Pizarro.
No, he's not. He's 40. Ah, piss poor.
Record signing in Bundesliga history
in
2001. Stop. Is it Michael Ballack?
Incorrect.
Ah.
I was on the losing side of the 2002 UEFA Cup final.
UEFA.
Thomas Rosicky.
Jim Campbell wins.
Love that.
Lord.
So sorry, is it Thomas Rosicky or not?
It was Thomas Rosicky, yeah.
Hang on, you could have introduced that last week because I might not win for ages. And
Love that, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
You know.
Marcus Spiller wins.
Oh, yes, go on.
That's what it sounds like.
Do you mind, then?
He hasn't got one for you.
Luke Moore wins.
I wanted to make it sound like Mortal Kombat.
Brilliant.
Flawless victory.
Fatality.
Babality.
I'll tell you what, with old PED, he can produce the goods like no other when he wants to.
He's like, when I want to
in many ways.
He's like
he's the David Ginola of the podcast.
Hatem Ben Arfa.
How do we start this podcast? Yeah. Me showing you Hatem Ben Arfa assist.
Yeah, you did.
heavy assist.
It was very good, though.
Well done, Jim. Good stuff, mate.
Well done, Jimbo. Excellent. And well done, Petey, too. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365, ladies and gentlemen. Well done to you, of course. You've made it to the end once again. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you.
Play the blooming Jim Campbell.
Yeah,
all right, okay.
You're welcome.
Well done from me. And there's the theme tune.
He's bitter.
You're a disgrace.
See you on Monday.
This was a Radio Staccato production. Ah.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.